chapter 2. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 2. Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory. Mark chapter 2. And we will start with the first verse. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. The healer was in the house. I believe the healer's in the house tonight, in this house. And his name is Jesus. And straightway many were gathered together, and so much there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, and bringing one sick of palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they undercovered the roof, you know, where he was. You know, most churches would get mad if somebody was tearing their roof up. You know, but Jesus didn't get mad. Jesus called it faith.
Amen.
You know, what the world and religious people think is a bunch of foolishness. God said he'd use the foolishness to confine the wise.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I was in a church where they'd get mad if you got on the top of the pews, and I just did it to make the religious leaders mad. Matter of fact, I ran across six of them, six rows, and jumped on a woman and cast the devil off of her. I thought those religious leaders were going to have a nervous breakdown. They almost did. I said they almost did. One woman ran out and screamed and ran out the door, full of the devil. She didn't want nothing to do with me. And the other one, I grabbed her as she was coming by. We got her set free. I said, we got her set free.
Amen.
Things like that don't bother Jesus, because he has a treasury. He has a treasure box in heaven, and he can get anything he wants. He probably repaired it himself. He might have received an offering for it. I don't know. But that didn't get Jesus upset. You know, the little things that upset us doesn't upset Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen?
When they could not come nigh him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy was laying. When Jesus saw their faith. See, faith is an act. I said faith is an act. You can see people's faith. You can see people's faith in the healing line. I said you could see people's faith in the healing line.
Yes.
He saw their faith, and he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins will be forgiven of thee. Boy, this really ticked off the religious leaders. But there was a certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts. See, this is where people get in trouble. They reason in their hearts. And that's what people are doing with this revival today. I've had people I've known for years. Well, you know when I wrote that book, Fresh Oil, in 87. Well, I mean, it's gone all over the churches, faith churches today, which in 1971 and 72 and 73 is when we pioneered our first faith church. There wasn't too many. You couldn't count them on your 10 fingers how many faith churches were across this nation. Now there's thousands of them. And now, they're saying in 87, when I said there's a move of God coming, and I said in the book, even word of faith people won't go with it. Word of faith people wouldn't even go with it. And then people got mad about that and said, well, Ed quit faith. He doesn't preach faith no more. Well, I knew that was a lie. I said, I knew that was a lie. I know, praise God. I preach faith and healing just like I did, if not stronger, years ago. I ain't going to get worse. I ain't going to get stronger on it. Can you say amen? Well, people reason in their hearts. Well, what good is it? What good is people falling out? What good is people burning up? You know, the word. Some people are such sticklers with the word, they don't even know the word. They think they do.
Come on.
You know, Smith Wigglesworth said, a few weeks before he died, in 1947, he prophesied. I read it to my brother when he came over to the room before the service. Didn't I read it to you? I read here. Look what Smith Wigglesworth said here. In 1947, before he died, he prophesied that there'd be a strong move of God in the area of the gifts of the Spirit. And what we call the charismatic revival hit. It hit 1960. He prophesied that in 47. And that went for many years. And then he said, and then you'll see another revival of the emphasis on the Word of God. Yeah. We've seen that for the last 20, 25 years. Can you say amen?
Amen.
The last 20, emphasis on the Word of God. He said, and then, after that, we're going to see the greatest revival that this world has ever seen. You're going to see the gifts of the Spirit and the Word of God come together. And as they come together, you're going to see an explosion on this earth that the world has never seen. And listen, and you're living in that generation. You're seeing it right now. You're seeing it happen right now. Why you want to fight it? I know I asked God around the first of the year, you know, every New Year's, God gives me something, and I minister at our New Year's convention that we have between Christmas and New Year's. That week we have a Holy Ghost convention every year. And I usually minister along these lines, and God gives me something every year since 87. He gives me something for that year. He gives me something for that year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. God give me New Year's Eve. God give me a mini vision. And he said, there'll be those that'll think they're in the river, but they're in just in a dry riverbed. And this is what he showed me. He showed me the pastor. And then he'd see me, their workers sitting behind him. And they were sitting in a boat. And then the congregation behind them. And they're sitting in a boat, like in a dry riverbed. I saw that. And they had the oars like this. And the oars are just bringing up the dust, you know, in the sand. And they'd get up and preach Jesus, and nothing but dust would come out of their mouth. Then I saw the people get up, their staff get up, and dust just come out of their mouth, so dry. And then I saw their congregation, dust would come out of their mouth. And then I heard the sheep say, we're getting out of this boat. Look at that stream over there. Look at those folks over there. I mean, all of them are opening their mouths, and fire's coming out of their mouth. Water's coming out of their mouth, the type of the Spirit of God. And they're going to jump out of that old dry boat, and they're going to jump over and get in that boat that is flowing with God. And I prophesy to you, the dry churches, the people are going to look, listen, this is nothing but full of dust. Let's get out of here and let's get over with the stream. I wish I had a friend in this church tonight. I said, I wish I had a friend in this church tonight. Glory to God. Well, I've been there since 1971. Who cares if you've been there? I've been in a lot of places, but they're not there anymore. I've been to a lot of places. I've been in churches. Matter of fact, got the church I got saved in. I was there for 5 years. I got a hold of a book by T.L. Osborne called Healing the Sick. And then I got some tapes from Brother Hagin. And then I got some tapes from a fellow named Copeland. And I want you to know I got full of the Word of God, and I found out I didn't have to be sick no more. And I mean, they had a deacon meeting just for me. I was one of the deacons. They didn't invite me. And then they invited me over. They said, can we come over to your house? And I said, yeah, come on over and I'll have some cookies and tea. Well, I was the cookie and I was the tea. They're saying, you're getting off in a ditch. Well, I want you to know that ditch filled up with water. That ditch filled. Oh, hallelujah. That ditch filled with water. Hallelujah. And I've been floating in that ditch. Praise God. I've been going down that river. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. And then I came among what we call Word of Faith, and it was in its infancies. And then that exploded, and that revival moved, the emphasis on the Word of God. And we moved with that for several years. But now God's doing something else. I said, no, oh, not that we're taking away the Word, not that we're taking away the gifts of the Spirit, but they're coming together and working together. And that's where I want to be. Can you say amen? I said, that's where I want to be. Well, the man of God prophesied. He prophesied that these two waves would come together. And when those two waves would come together, it'd make a tidal wave. And I want you to know, I want to be on my Holy Ghost surfboard right on the top of it. You know, forerunners are never popular until after they're dead. Well, John the Baptist wasn't popular until after he died. But forerunners, they get persecuted. They do. And I went around the country preaching this for years. And with the book, Fresh Oil from Heaven, I said, it's coming, it's coming. And I'd teach on the gifts. I'd teach on miracles. They're coming, they're coming. Well, we're in the middle of it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You don't have to sing, there's coming a revival, honey. It's here.
Amen.
You just need to get in. It's just, you know, it's flowing, but it ain't going to. We're all going to flow in these streams. Then the ones who are going to go with God are going to come together in a river. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And I prophesy to you, this city, God's already showed me since I've been in this city that there is a river People are tired of religion. People are tired of churches failing. They're tired of sin in the church. And they want to come where there's a strong leader that has the love of God and will preach the truth and allow the Holy Ghost. Allow the Holy Ghost to flow in the name of Jesus. I wish I had a friend in this church. Glory to God. I can't imagine. Imagine this person, this preacher friend of yours that come in and say, well, we don't want you to preach on the blood. Amen. You know, on Sunday morning. We don't want you to preach on the cross. We don't want to offend anybody. My God, what, you got devils in your church? You preach that, you offend devils. Who wants a church full of fugitives?
Come on. Yes. Tell it.
That is not right, and that is phony, and it's wrong to sit there and lie to those people the truth. And you say you're a preacher.
Come on.
No, you're an entertainer. You're a social leader. The country club leader. Come to our place, you won't get convicted of your sins. You can whore around. You can commit adultery. And it's all right in our place. There's nothing there to convict you, dummy. But you get in a church where the Word of God is, preaching the Word of God, preaching the love of God, conviction will come to live right for God. Because God's coming after a church that is full of holy, holy, holy people that live right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I haven't even got to my text yet, and I already preached myself happy. Can you say amen?
Amen?
I said, can you say amen?
Amen?
Well, I'm not backing off. I'm going forward. I already made up my mind. Faith does not go backwards. Doubt and unbelief goes backwards. Oh, maybe that's not God. Oh, maybe it's not His will for me to be healed. Oh, maybe it's not His will for me to speak in tongues. Oh, maybe this and maybe that. And before you know, He's got you back in the pit where you came out of. But I'm going forward with the Word of God, with the shield of faith. I'm going to go with the anointing of God that breaks the yoke. I'm going with God. I don't know about you, but I'm going forward. I'm going as a soldier. I'm going well equipped. I'm going to pass the time. Oh, almost got into Holy Ghost rapping there. Oh, I wish you'd gonna go with me. How many are gonna go? You're gonna go with the gold. You're gonna go with the power. How many are gonna go with the power? Then why don't you get rid of that little cap gun? Why don't you get rid of those little things you've been talking about your sickness, talking about your lack.
Oh my God.
Come to church, do the Holy Ghost jerk, and all week long you operate in unbelief.
Oh my.
I want you to know that everything that's written in here, you can believe it, it is so. I'd rather believe this than a lying preacher that would lie on Jesus. Jesus said, by His stripes you were healed. I think I'd believe that than a lying, unbelieving preacher. Or an unbelieving sheep. It says in His Word that He meets all my needs according to His riches and glory. I think I'd rather believe that than your old lack talking mouth. I'm going to say He meets all my needs according to His riches and glory. My needs are met. Well, they don't look like they are. They are. It doesn't matter what it looks like, because I'm believing the Word of God. And the Word of God, when you put action to His Word, I want you to know those words will stand up and they'll work for you. The Word of God will work for you. I wish I had a friend in this church. Woo! Hallelujah. That's all God is wanting to do, is for you to get up and act on the Word of God. Well, I'm healed. You are. Then what are you sitting there for? Well, you don't understand. I can't move. What are you doing laying in bed? Healed people don't lay in bed. Well, you don't understand. Yeah, but the Word says, oh, yeah, I know that. I've been listening to Hagin, Copeland. I've been listening to all of them. Honey, you can have the whole library filled up, lined up. You can have every video and everything. And you can still there lay there in your unbelief unless you act on the Word of God and do what it says. And you start making a move. That's all I go. What can you do? I can move my finger. Move your finger towards God. I say it this way. Whatever you can do, just even if you just lean towards God. Just lean towards Him. And I want you to know whatever you're standing on, whatever you're leaning on, will jump out of those pages and it'll work for you. I'm telling you, you can believe the Word of God. Tired of all these unbelieving preachers getting up and they preach, says, yeah, we believe it. Hey, man, glory to God. And after they're talking about their rheumatism, they're talking about their lack, talking about devils appearing to them and how scared they are. Oh, hallelujah. You ought to be like Dr. Summerall. If you're going to follow somebody, follow him. I want you to know he was living, he was sleeping in a bed in Java, and he was asleep, sleeping away. And all of a sudden his bed started walking, and it walked across the big room. He said that bed started walking. And he woke up and he says, and he knew that the devil was walking him in that bed. And he said, pull it back! And he went back to sleep. Most Christians today would have to have huggies on. My God, this is a real devil. This ain't snot or goobers. This is a real devil. This is a real devil. I ain't afraid of no devil. They're afraid of me. When I wake up in the morning, the alarm goes off in hell. He's up! Some people, some Christians wake up and they say, oh, we can sleep in. They ain't going to do nothing. Wish I had a friend in this church. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Get the devils out of your home. Get the devils out of your husband. Get the devil out of your wife. Get them off of your children in the name of Jesus. Bunch of crying Christians, and God is looking for an army that'll get in the stream and get in the boat and flow with Him. And don't worry about building and breaking up a roof. Faith will tear up people's roofs. Religious roofs. Religious roofs. They don't like it. That's all right. Religious devils don't like me, and I hate them. I said, I hate them.
Oh, yeah.
They pull people down and let people live what the Word of God says. You know, I had people, I mean, full gospel. I found out it was half gospel. Think the Baptists had more faith than they did. Come out of the Azusa Street Revival. I say, well, it really didn't mean that. It's not always God's will for everybody to be healed. I like to say it this way. I know not everybody is healed, but if you believe the Word of God, everybody could be healed that believes the Word of God. Because I'm going to believe that. When somebody asked me, when did Brother Hagin died of cancer? That don't change the word for me. What, my faith, I love men and everything, but my faith is in the Word of God. You know, men fail. Boy, people backslide right and left. Well, see, where were their faith? My faith is in God. I love God. If a woman fails me, I'm not going to hell for a woman, are you? Some of you are a bunch of crybabies. Your woman left because of, oh, well, we ain't going to get that wild in a church, bless God. I'm leaving you. Goodbye. Go to hell if you want to. And I'm saying that, I know that hurts in the soul. I know that hurts in the heart. But I'm going to tell you, or a man wants to leave. Mm-hmm. You say, well, bless God, I ain't serving God. Look, I'm serving God. Look what happened. Well, what do you think's going to happen? Right. You better bolt everything down, honey. Yes, if you got anything inside of you, the devil's going to come and rattle it and try to do everything he can. Why didn't it happen to me? Because Jesus is in your boat, that's why. Wake up and smell the coffee. I said, come on, smell the coffee. You know, when I was going over to that other church, everything was going fine. I come over here and hell breaks out. You heard that? Oh, yeah. Well, because Satan comes immediately to take out the word, dummy. Quit being a dummy. Family will take you to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
They tried to do it with Jesus. They tried to push him off the cliff. His own staff said, well, let's go over with him and die. Well, what a staff. Let's go with him that we'll die. Boy, they really had faith that he was the Son of God, huh? We go over this time, you know, we're going to stone.
The religious leader, well, couldn't this man that raised it then can't even raise this person from the dead? Huh? And Mary, you know, the family put him on a guilt trip. If you'd been here, this would have never happened.
Yeah.
The old unbelieving guilt trip.
Yeah, right.
That's a big faith killer right there, honey. I'll tell you that, right? Big faith killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't have, I know, like my side of the family, well, they're going to California, taking my daughter away. Taking her away and going to that invested place that got cracks all over. It's going to fall in the ocean. Earthquakes, you know. I wouldn't live in California for nothing. And yet they'll have a big tornado go and lift their barn up and take it across the street. Hey! Read the book! This is the last day! Anywhere you go, there's all kinds of stuff. You just sit up straight. Every one of you sit up straight. I don't like it when you're slouched down. You're God's men and women. Stand up! Shut up and quit taking his guff.
Amen.
Get rattled over a little roof being tore up.
Amen.
I've had devils stand up in people and say, amen, and I say, shut up and go to hell. If you don't straighten up, that's where you're going. And boy, the church people get mad. You lose people, how dare he speak that way to that? Yeah, Miss Old Gossip Face.
Yeah.
Old Tail Bearer Gossip Face.
Oh, my.
You keep it up, you're going to go to hell. You'll fall from grace, keep talking like that.
Yeah.
I wish I had a friend in here.
Come on.
Well, what happened every last night? Everybody was burning up and laughing.
Yeah.
He was just getting all the junk off before you could take this sermon today.
Come on.
I don't know if I'm helping you, but I'm preaching myself happy. Sit up straight. Quit slouching. I haven't even got to my text. Oh, that's good. Jesus saw their faith, and he said unto the sick, Paul, son, thy sins will be forgiven. And then the scribes, religious leaders, reasoning in their hearts, why doeth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but only God? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned with themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Question mark. Whether it's easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven to thee, or say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of God had power on the earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he rose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it. On this fashion. This is what God said to me this afternoon on that bed. There's things that God is going to do in this church that ain't going to be fashionable to the religious leaders. But there are going to be those that are going to come out of those boats. There are going to be those that are living in the streets. There are going to be those that are going to come and they say, well, whatever is happening is fashionable to God. Because they reason in their hearts.
Thank you, Jesus.
They reason it. Why are you reasoning in your heart? I've never seen it in this fashion. You know why? Because they didn't see any miracles. His brother over here rolling on the floor. That used to happen around the turn of the century. Where do you think the holy rollers came from? Trembling and shaking. Where do you think the Quakers came from? Just because you haven't seen it means it hasn't been here. There's nothing new under the earth. There's nothing under the sun that's new to God. It might be new to you. A lot of us seen this laughter for many years. We've had it in our meetings for years. But some, this is the laughing revival. Honey, it ain't the laughing revival. It's the joy of the Lord. It's a revival of joy to get the pickle out of your mouth. Get depression off of you. Get back in faith and believe in the Word of God. Wish I had a friend in this church. Said, I wish I had a friend in this church. They were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it in this fashion." Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to see some things. They'll say, "Well, we never seen it in this fashion." Great man of God, I believe it was Brother Wesley. You've heard of him. I said, you heard of him.
Amen.
You know, when he died, he just left a few things. Left a couple of silver spoons. And he left, I forgot what was the other thing. You remember, Jeremy? The other thing that my wife was telling me about, because she read it in a book. He left 2 silver spoons to his family and something else, and left the Methodist Church.
Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't get it.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't leave anything. No, he left something spiritual.
Right.
In that day, that the Methodist Church was the hottest thing going.
Right.
The fiery Methodists.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
That man, because he did it by God, he didn't leave much material things, but he left a heritage in people. And I look at that as God, that's what I want to. I want to leave this earth where I make my mark and I leave something spiritually that'll last forever. You can make all the money in the world and leave it to your kids and your relatives and then go off and splurge it and the church won't even get it. And you worked all your life at it. And you're going to stand before God one day and he'll go like this, says, "Well, what'd you do? You didn't do anything." Yeah, you're in heaven, but you didn't do anything. I want you to think about that. I want you to know is you can leave a heritage in this city. You can leave a spiritual heritage. The Lord tarries, you can leave a spiritual heritage. See, people look at, ooh, look at the big ministry. What's big? You can't see. When I moved back to California, I didn't have nothing. Matter of fact, I sold my car before I could move. I'm not bragging, but nationally known ministry. Been ministering for many years. And God said, go back to California. Go back and raise up. And he told me what to do and get in position for this last day revival there. I said, Lord, I got a beautiful building here. It's almost paid for. He said, you do it and I'll bless you. My anointing will be on you. If you stay here, you'll be out of the will of God. I said, well, I better go. But I sold my Mercedes. Sold it to have money to go because God told me to sell it to a preacher. The building I had didn't have any money. Hallelujah. When I had factories that wanted my building right there. But God told me to, no, sell it to that preacher. I said, well, he don't have no money. He don't even have a down payment. He said, I said, sell it to him. I want to say something to you. People see that like I went backwards. Had a staff of 12 people, moved out there, and only had a staff of 2, and worked out of my garage out of a leased house. We gave my furniture to my daughter because she was getting married, and rented furniture for 6 months.
Yeah.
That ain't fashionable. That ain't fashionable taking an Oklahoma girl to California, an earthquake area, infested area. It's not fashionable. It's tearing up people's roofs. They don't like it. But what did God say? I said, what did God say?
Amen.
There's going to be some things in this day, in this hour, it ain't going to seem like it's, well, we've never seen it in this fashion. Look at this, a guy, we never seen anybody break up the roof of a church and drop them down. And then he says their sins are forgiven. What's the difference? What's the difference? A lot of people like to see the spectacular, and here he would just said, "Your sins are forgiven." And he said, "Get up! I'll just show you the power of God's presence. Get up and right and walk." That goes to show you, the forgiving of the sins is high priority. We're in for miracles. We're looking for this. We're looking for that. But I want you to know, the forgiveness of sins is more high priority. You get the sin, bear some sins forgiven, and get them. Then the inside, get their insides right. Then their outside will get in line. Most Christian reason they have so much sickness is because they're sick inside.
That's good.
Hallelujah! Wish I had a friend in this church. Glory to God. I said glory. Well, there's some things that are not going to be fashionable to see it in this fashion, but bless God, we're going to see some things that are going to be something else. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Some of you need to quit saying, I'm going to get my healing. You ought to say, I'm going to receive what already belongs to me. You're going to get it. You keep pushing it up and keep pushing it up. Well, I'm going to healing line to get my healing. No, you already got it 2,000 years ago. You already got it 2,000 years ago. I already have it. I just praise God. The healing that is already present is already working in me in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I like what Brother Hagin said the other night. That just blessed me. He says, I don't work on my faith confession as much as I work on my love walk. I work more on my love walk than I do my confession for healing. You always do get a holy hush out of that. Boy, I grabbed onto that. Well, that's his revelation. No, he got it from Jesus. Nobody has any original thoughts. You're not that smart. It all comes from heaven. All wisdom comes from heaven. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Or from hell?
No.
We're going to see some things. I said we're going to see some things that are going to happen. Go over to Acts. Your pastor, the pastor was talking about a little bit. Go over to Acts chapter 2. Ooh, I could preach there some more. Praise God. I said praise God.
Yeah.
Go over to Acts. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That's a miracle right there.
Yeah.
In one accord in one place. Everybody say one place.
One place.
You can get a man and a wife in accord and in one place. I mean, hell can never get in their house.
That's right.
I said, hell could never get in there. And suddenly there came a sound from suddenly. I'm going to keep rolling up. We have that tape series out there called Suddenlies. And I kept coming up in me today, the suddenlies. You know, the church, we need some suddenlies in our services.
Amen.
I mean, even services when you know when the music's going to start. You know, of course, everybody has a certain time it starts. But you know when it's going to quit. You know when Bucket Mouth's going to get up and prophesy. You know, and I mean, you just boom, boom, boom. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for some suddenlies.
Amen.
For God to move suddenly in our services. I want to get more than ankle deep in that water. I want to get deeper with God. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. See, only God will minister. Well, I think it was Wesley said that God can't do nothing on this earth until he can find a man that'll yield to him.
That's
something to think about. Unless a man yields to it. Yields to the anointing of God. God's got to have a man that'll stand in the gap. Can you say amen?
Amen.
A man that will stand in the gap. Abraham, stand in the gap as an intercessor. God is looking for men that'll do the suddenlies with God's power in their hand. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And here, most of the churches up front, they're all sick. You ought to put your own hand and believe in it. He said, lay hands on the sick. Didn't even say anything about praying. Didn't say anything about it. It says, call for the elders of the church and anoint them with oil and pray over them. But it didn't say anything for the believers there. It says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Because you ought to know, you ought to have revelation of him.
That's right.
Who's him? Jesus that's in you.
That's right.
Having the acknowledgement of him that is in you.
Yeah.
And when he's in you, the healer's in you, then he said, lay hands. You're to tell the people that you got power and lay hands. Hands. And they'll recover. Put your hands up. The glory just moved in. It's in my eyes. The glory's in this place right now. And the suddenlies, there's an atmosphere where God can move. There was a day when the suddenlies happened to me, and I would not relent. I would not give up when I was ready to lose a church building. I didn't have the money, and the guy said, if you don't have the money, I want you out of that building by midnight. And I said, God, you said in your word, so you can stand on that word. And I was in one accord with the word of God. He says, if they were all in one accord. When you get in one accord with the word, you can get the suddenlies to happen. You got to understand the Holy Ghost is ever present. It's ever present, and it's ready to manifest. I like to put it this way, like my wife put it. And we had my son Grant was burning up with fever, and he was only two or three weeks old. And I was on the road. Seems like she says every time Ed goes on the road, the devil tries to attack my children. He's a bully. And my baby was burning up, and she went into the hospital, and she prayed over the baby, and it got worse and worse. And she's a woman of faith, and she says, well, I'm going to use wisdom. You know, the baby can't believe, and I don't know if I'm connecting here or something. She went to the hospital and had a check, and they put the baby in the hospital overnight. And she was, and they're getting ready to get some cold baths and, you know, rub the baby down. And she's in the rocking chair. She says, now, Jesus, you told Brother Hagin in a vision. Now, I want to say something about that. You know, people say, well, those Brother Hagin stories. He's always talking about those stories. Well, let's go beyond. I'm beyond Brother Hagin now because of those stories. What an idiot. The stories are where the nuggets are. And he is an apostle of balance and an apostle of faith to this generation. That's why God, I don't know of any man, there could be, I don't know of any man or woman on the face of this earth where he comes and visit and talks to him face to face like Moses. Have you ever thought about that? Moses, he said, up to that time, he said, I never came face to face to a man. Jesus appears to Brother Hagin. Why does he have those kind of visions? To share it with the body of Christ to keep us balanced. I don't know what's wrong with people. Why they don't stay with their spiritual fathers. They're mentors, like he was talking about. There are mentors that have been and stayed and have been through hell, but yet stayed and kept on preaching and keep on preaching. And they'll run up and follow somebody who's only been in the ministry for 8 years and got this super duper doctrine. It'll take you to hell. So my wife says, you told Brother Hagin. We're not uplifting a man. I'm just saying the experience. You told Brother Hagin that the anointing is ever present. Now, in this hospital room, the anointing is present to heal my baby. This is Mama speaking. Mama talking to Jesus about her baby. Mamas are something else, man. You mess with their babies, man. Is that right? Daddies, you know, they're pretty rough. But when it comes to Mama, you ain't messing with my baby. She says, Jesus, you told Brother Hagin that the anointing is ever present. Now, I want to know how I can get that anointing out of the atmosphere into my baby. This is a mama talking. How did I get it into my baby? How did I get into my baby? And she had a quick vision. Jesus showed her a vision. What do you call those things that hang? Huh? Pinatas. You know those? You know where you hit them with a stick and stuff? She saw these things hanging in that room. And one had the gift of faith. One had the gift of healing. The other one. And he said, these are ever present. That's all you have to do is use faith to hit that thing that you need. And you release your faith. And instantly she released her faith, and the gift of healing was released in that baby, and that baby was instantly healed.
Hallelujah.
Man, thank you, Jesus.
Man, I said, I'll preach that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, that's how he talks to my wife. That's why she gets all that revelation she gets. She's a teacher, Holy Ghost teacher. That's what I'm talking about when you release your faith. If you would realize, besides the anointing, corporately speaking, the anointing on us is a believer. How many of you are believers? You all have anointing on you, corporately speaking. You have the anointing within. If you're a minister, then you have a mantle that is on you to preach. You have the gifts of the Spirit that are all in the atmosphere. They're available to you and me. Straighten up. Straighten your backs up. This will make a preacher out of you. When you get ready, when the devil sticks up his head, just remember, you have all this atmosphere with the gifts of the Spirit that are available, the anointing that's in you, and the anointing that's in you, and the anointing that is upon you. Besides the armor.
Yes.
My.
Besides the Word of God. We are loaded to bear. Woo! My Lord. You're going around like a pauper. I mean, you're having the power. More power, more power. Well, walk in the power you got, honey. That's all you need. Tear up. Let's do something that's not fashionable. Let's do something that's not fashionable. I said, let's do something that's not fashionable to the religious people. Let's just tear up some roofs. Religious roofs. Hallelujah. Let's take the top of unbelief off. And let people get healed. I said, can you say amen? I wish I had a friend in this church. If I was in a black church, it'd be jumping all over the place. Or you white folks will catch up pretty soon. Can you say amen? The gifts are in this atmosphere.
Amen.
Ooh, glory to God. What do you need tonight? You need to work in a miracle? Release your faith. She'll preach that. I guarantee you, she got that. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So it has to do with faith.
Yes.
I said it has to do with faith. See, everything we do, you people say, well, that old faith message. Well, somebody told me here a few months ago, you know, God doing away with the faith message. I said, no, he's not.
That's right.
You dummy. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. If you don't got no faith, you ain't pleasing him, buddy. You're just pleasing your fleshly mind. And pleasing the devil talking like that.
That's right.
Who wants to please the devil?
Not I.
Raise your hand if you want to please the devil. Didn't think so. He's going to pray for your head. Pray for your thinking. Hallelujah. How many of you want to please God? And get faith. Get into a church that preaches faith. Every Sunday morning there's faith. Everywhere they go, they come back to faith. Because it's faith that'll get you over. I said it's faith that will cause you whatever it takes. If I can't get in the building, I'll tear the roof down. Glory to God. I mean, some of you, well, I'm using my faith. I release my faith. Here I go. And right away, an obstacle comes up. Well, I don't know. I don't know what I did wrong. I just don't know. It must be that teaching that pastor's giving me over there. Must be Pastor Munn's teaching. This stuff don't work for me, you big baby. Why don't you put a little piece of dynamite under that wall called faith and blow the thing up out of your way? Why don't you make an effort to put your foot over it? Why don't you get your faith ladder out? I said, why don't you get your faith ladder out and go over it? Hallelujah. Getting over here into a little preaching in your style, brother. Praise God. Jeremy style. Hallelujah. Woo, I tell you, that stuff will do it to you, man. Come on, let's do a little different tonight. Huh? What do you say? Let's be unfashionable. Everybody do it now.
Please turn your tape over to side two now.